Thanks so much for tuning in. That's Unreal Bluegrass. We're welcoming today Darren Nicholson. You know Darren from Balsam Range, maybe the best bluegrass band on the planet right now. I think they have every right to claim it, although they're all too humble to say, yes, we are. Darren has a brand new album, six songs, which they call an EP. It's called Man on a Mission. It's not bluegrass, although the tune that I'm going to start off with, you'll think, well, it sounds like bluegrass, Steve, and after 31 seconds, you'll realize that it's not. But this is an interesting album. Darren has lots of good reasons why he got where he is on this six-song CD. Every song has importance to him, and we talked to Darren about some things that I was not aware of. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. Hang on. To the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a great new song, Love is War. It's off of a brand-new album that I have, Man on a Mission, from Darren Nicholson. And I have Darren Nicholson on the phone right now. Darren, how you doing?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for playing the music.
Oh, it's so good to have a chance to talk to you. I've met you before, you wouldn't remember it, but it was at a Balsam Range concert where everybody just kind of milling about. And the listeners may know Darren Nicholson more readily from Balsam Range, one of the all-time best, I think consistently best, greatest bluegrass bands on the planet. And Darren is a huge part of that. And this new album, though, it just blows me away. There's six cuts on it. It's on Mountain Home. The name of the album is Man on a Mission. And it's just, this is not bluegrass. Although I will tell you this, this is the neat thing about it to me, is the very first cut starts off with Love is War, which we just heard. There's about 31 seconds of where you could think, well, this is just going to be a nice little banjo fiddle duet. And then about 31 seconds in, the sea changes. Everything in his drums, and there's all sorts of things. And it's kind of like here's what the album's going to be like. And I want you to talk about that song, but also about there's six cuts on this album. But this is a variation from bluegrass.
Yeah, well, it kind of sets the mood of like. You know, this whole album is kind of a misdirection from things, solo albums I've done in the past. This is my fourth solo project.
Yeah.
And it's totally different from anything I've done with Balsam Range or any solo projects I've done in the past. But that Love is War was written, actually, it was kind of written in the way that intro started. I wrote it as a straight ahead bluegrass number, and then as we were putting songs together for this record, I was thinking, man, I could really hear this kind of mixed up in more of a groovy Sam Bush or Southern rock style. It was kind of, I said, let's maybe mislead people a little bit here. Let's have the intro one way and then cut in, and we're everything breaks loose. So I think that's a good way to start the album, because I think I wanted people to hear it and be expecting one thing but get something else.
It does kind of work out that way. And if you did it just to say let's make the change and it didn't work, that'd be one thing. But boy, it just becomes it's a great song, and it's not, you're not just making the change. I counted at 31 seconds in as things change. And you have all kinds of other instruments brought in, but it's such a great song. And I each one of these songs I love better than the next one as I'm listening to them.
Well, thank you so much. It's a setup. It's like a pitch that sets up another pitch. You know what I mean? You're watching baseball and the guy's about to strike a guy out, and he uses a pitch to set up the next one. And
absolutely,
that's the way a good album should be. Like, one song should set up the next song. Like, that's one thing Balsam Range has always been conscious of, and I think part of that is for me. One thing I had a mentor years ago. He said, you know, be really careful when you're choosing songs, because I think a lot of bluegrass bands make the mistake of when they pick material. If you're not careful, a lot of bluegrass songs will sound like the other bluegrass songs.
Sure.
And if you're not careful, a lot of bluegrass ends up sounding the same. And so Balsam Range Records, and of course tailoring our shows that way too, every song is in a different key or a different tempo or a different feel, different groove, and that gives the listener, it's like a constant It's like watching a good baseball pitcher, and he's got a curve and a changeup and then a slider and then a fastball. But, you know, I've seen a lot of bands come out there before, and they kick off in the key of B, and they play five songs in a row that are the same kickoff, same tempo, and it just bores me to death.
It wears part of your mind out. I think it wears part of your mind out unless there's some kind of changes. You modulate a little bit in one of these songs, which there's so many great songs on. You would think of Six. How could I keep saying that? But there's some things in here that just fit. We'll talk about it when we get there. The very last song to me is, you mentioned Southern Rock already. It's like, this could have been Southern Rock when I was in high school, the very last song. And I'll get to that in a minute, but I want you to tell me about some of the musicians on here that you have with you. This is not Darren Nicholson with the rest of the guys from Balsam Range and calling it Darren Nicholson. You've got a whole different crew here.
Yeah, I've got the great Tony Kreisman playing drums. A lot of people may know Tony's work. He did the last four or five Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard records. He's the only guy that Carl Jackson uses. So if you've listened to Alicia Nugent, who was my first introduction into the bluegrass music world, that's who I played with for 3 years.
She was on the show. She was on the show last year when her new album came out.
Oh, cool! Yeah. So you've heard Tony then.
Absolutely.
He's the only drummer that Carl Jackson uses, and so, but he's from about 10 minutes from my house, right here in Western North Carolina, and I think he's the greatest drummer in the world. But that Louvin Brothers record that Carl won the Grammy for, that's him, and he's one of the most recorded drummers in history. But he just happens to be my neighbor and one of my best friends, so that was a no-brainer.
The whole world is your neighbor. The whole Balsam Range, you could if you were evil, you could kill the whole band with a hand grenade. Well played. I mean, you guys are right there, and here you got Tony as a neighbor. Charles Humphrey, who wrote Charles Humphrey III, wrote I guess co-wrote all but one of the, he's from down there too.
Well, he's a long way away. He's like 15 or 20 minutes away.
Western
North Carolina has always been a hotbed of bluegrass, and it's been a big hub of, and that was the other thing too. I didn't want to use Nashville people, so all these musicians are have Western North Carolina roots, but they're all A-team players. Jeff Collins produced it and played the piano, and then Jeremy Metcalf played electric guitars and bass. I played mandolin on one or two cuts, and then I played the electric mandolin, played Mandocaster on the rest of it. And then David Johnson played he's a one-man wrecking crew.
Steel guitar, you name it.
He plays every instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not just with strings, he plays every instrument.
Oh, he does? Right, well.
Yeah, every single instrument that you can name or think of, he plays it, and to a professional level. He's absolutely amazing, so.
I noticed Jennifer Nicholson popping up in harmony vocals, and I'm guessing
there's my lovely wife. She's an incredible singer, and she's the vocal music director at Asheville High School, and I met her through her cousin, who's a famous bluegrass musician and singer, Audie Blaylock.
And he's on this album.
And so Audie and Jennifer did all the harmony on it.
Oh, that's
except
great.
For one cut. And I had a young lady in Asheville who's a R&B soul singer named Lyric Jones, and she came in on the last cut that Eric and I wrote together, and she was kind enough to lend her voice to that one. So
She's on that. And you're talking about Man on a Mission, which to me, I'm high school. I graduated high school in 73, and that was their Southern rock in my definition. Allman Brothers Band, and there was a lot of others that came out, but that was kind of sweeping through my high school. And when I hear Man on a Mission, which is the only song that you co-wrote with Eric Gibson of the Gibson Brothers, and Eric has a great sensibility about music too. When they did that, and now I can't remember the name of the album. He and Lee did an album of kind of Americana rock stuff.
Mockingbird.
That was such a cool thing, and we talked about that at length. And Eric has some great ideas on music, and I'll come back to that because we're going to get back to it before we before we end talking. Yeah. But yeah, this is just a great, it's a great setup of musicians. And I had to look, and you're doing everything I wanted is to explain to me who these people are, because I know who Audie Blaylock is, and I,
yeah,
I know some of these names, but a lot of them I didn't know. And now that you've explained Tony Kreisman, I understand who he is too. But boy, Jeremy is. He just does. He does. There's so many great guys. Jeff Collins on piano. There's a lot of great piano work. There's a lot of great stuff where you play. Man, you kick off with a mandolin, which really is almost like an old type of a piano intro to maybe a Jerry Lee Lewis type of a feel, and all of a sudden then the piano kicks in. But there's so many different things going on in these six songs. It's just
well, it's actually Bill Monroe. I stole that stuff from Bill Monroe.
Oh yeah, you're right. You know? Okay, you're right. Thank you.
If you go back to things that Bill Monroe recorded in the 40s, things like Bluegrass Twist and Bluegrass Stomp, you know, Bill Monroe is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And
that's right.
It's not just because of Blue Moon of Kentucky. It's because he influenced Chuck Berry. He influenced the Beatles.
Oh,
and a lot
yeah.
of these, they don't want to admit it, but, you know, Bill Monroe was, he was first rock and roller. He was pushing the boundaries. You know, he was the Cadillac Sky of the day. You know what I mean? He was the guy who was coming out there pushing boundaries. I'm sure that there were people who loved the Carter family and Jimmy Rogers who hated Bill Monroe and thought, hey, this guy's ruining our music. Listen to what he's doing. And then, you know, there were some people who wanted to just hear the Carter family and thought that Bill Monroe was too progressive. I'm sure during that time period, too, there was always probably somebody who was trying to hold music back, but you can't really do that.
And if they had known this phrase, they may have said the same thing about Bill Monroe. They may have said, that ain't no part of nothing.
Exactly. Well, you know, Bill was the innovator. His music had that Scotch-Irish roots and Uncle Penn, but it was also
some blues.
The black blues
yeah, absolutely.
You know, from Arnold Schultz. And I love that part of it, you know. And I love Bluegrass Stomp, the Bluegrass Twist. So those licks are actually, they came from Bill Monroe. He was the first. All those Jerry Lee Lewis, that da da na na na.
Yeah, okay.
Bill Monroe downstrokes.
And oh,
that's,
man.
That's where Chuck Berry got it. That's where the Beatles got it. And so, you know, tip of the hat to Bill Monroe, who was the first rock and roller. So.
He knew some things. Everly Brothers,
yeah.
I think, stole his harmonies.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Beatles stole them from the Everly Brothers. So he really gave birth to the Beatles. There you go.
It all comes from the same place. It comes, you know, and that's like, I love music. And the people, well, you're talking about Audie Blaylock. People know him from being a hardcore traditionalist. And he did that Jimmy Martin record that was mm-hmm. so great. But, man, all the years I've been around him, he loves Jimmy Martin, yes, but he listens to the Allman Brothers and Dickie Betts and that music with the same passion that he loved Jimmy Martin. There's two kinds of music, good and bad.
Good and bad, and so, you're right.
You know, and so, you know, that's, you know, as long as you respect the music and you're just, you know, you're putting your heart and soul into it, that's what really matters, I think.
Well, I think you've done it. And by the way, for the people listening, if you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Darren Nicholson. As I mentioned at the beginning of our discussion, Darren's done several albums. I happen to have Man on a Mission with me, but we would know him more recognizably from Balsam Range. And when you hear the vocals, when I get to hear you sing, just you have such a great voice. And then I keep thinking, everybody in Balsam Range has a great voice, and they're all equal parts of a great thumb that come out of that sound. And man, your voice on this album is just you're doing some really nice blues feels. You're doing some really nice some of these are just downright country honky tonk songs.
Well, thank you. You know, that was an influence too. My parents listened to the Grand Ole Opry. I was born in 1983, but I was raised like it was 1953. I've always been an old soul, and we didn't have TV really, and so like everybody in my family played music. It was a generational thing. It was passed down from generation to generation, and so The TV wasn't on in our house. Everybody was either playing music or listening to music on the radio. And so listening to the Grand Ole Opry, we listened to country music and we listened to bluegrass. And there wasn't a segregation of the music. It wasn't like, hey, this is bluegrass or this is country. When it came on the radio, my dad would say, hey, this is Merle Haggard. This is great. Or he would say, hey, this is Jim and Jesse. This is great. This is George Jones. That's great. This is the Osbournes. And so I am, you know, I do sound, all those things influence me. And that comes out in my music. I wrote all these songs on this record, and I wanted them all to have a different feel. Some of it sounds like rockabilly. Some of it sounds like country music, and there is one ballad on there. But it's just all the common denominator is that it's all authentic and just from the heart. I was writing songs about myself, relationships that I've had, experiences that I've had, and those are the only things I'm really qualified to write about is myself. So, you know, I'm kind of, you know, when you're vulnerable enough to write down your experiences and put it out there, maybe, you know, you hope somebody can relate to it and appreciate it and enjoy it.
Well, with that being said, I want you to introduce a song in a minute, but first, with everything you've just said, I want to skip to your discussion about Them Hateful Woman Blues, which, by the way, I've played them on Real Blues. But everything you just said so eloquently, I want you to not take all that personal experience and all that and tell me about the Hateful Woman Blues, which I've played before, and I just think it's a great fun song.
Yeah, well, I've had a lot of experience with hateful women, and I'm just kidding.
Not Jennifer.
I have this natural ability to make women so mad. It's this God-given talent I've got. And it's all women. No, I'm just kidding. That song came from it's tongue in cheek. It's supposed to be.
Oh yeah, sure. I get
it's
it. I mean, he's
supposed to be a fun song.
It is because the song goes. You talk about and really, you're like you're lucky you got her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I was watching this episode of the Andy Griffith Show. And there's the couple on there who are constantly bickering at each other, and that was the way they communicated, and that was the way that they were showing affection for each other. Well, then when Andy and Barney were trying to get them to be nice to each other, they were mean to everyone else.
I remember that.
You remember that one? And so like they realized that their way of showing affection to each other was to kind of be snarky and hateful with each other. And so that was kind of the.
And if you got between the both of them, you paid from both of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We had a lot of fun writing that song.
That's a fun song. It is, and I took it exactly. I took it exactly the way you described it. It was a fun song, and it had a. So with that being said, before I want you to introduce Southern Ground, but before that. We talked about this a little bit off the air. I got this album, and I was very excited to get it and started playing it on the air and also just threw it in my car. You've gone through some, we'll say, some physical changes.
Yeah, well, just a lot of changes personally.
Yeah.
I'll probably say physical, spiritual and you know, mental too. It's you know, we were discussing off the air. The last couple of years have been a transformation in my personal life. I guess that's what you're referring to.
Well, yeah. Well, I can only see your photograph, and I know your photograph is you're not the same person I've seen and just hanging around with Balsam Range.
Yeah. Well, one, my hair's falling out, you know, so I'm bald.
That ain't all of it.
I shaved my head.
You're quite a bit littler than the last time I saw you.
Yeah, I've been on a weight loss journey. That's been one of it. It's been a health, overall health journey because right now I'm about 2 years. The biggest part of that is I'm right at 2 years alcohol-free. I haven't talked much about it publicly, but I had an unhealthy relationship with alcohol for a lot of years, and I think a lot of people in the music business probably teeter you know, on the verge of probably having an unhealthy relationship, not just with alcohol, but with maybe a lot of different things, mm-hmm. maybe diet or whatever. But, you know, sometimes you get to a point in your life where you just have to assess and say, look, you know, there's some things in my life that aren't working. And so, you know, I started addressing some of my health issues. That was one of them. And so that started kind of the weight loss journey. But when I did that, when I started trying to go alcohol free, I realized that that I didn't want to. That was just one part of it. That I didn't want to just quit drinking and then, you know, die from eating too many cheeseburgers too. That, you know, it's like, yeah, if I'm going to get healthy, I really want to try to get healthy in every aspect of my life, and that's physical, mental, and spiritual. And so, you know, the last couple of years have been really the best of my life. I've lost about 125 pounds to this point. I've still got a little bit of ways to go, but it's been an inspiring journey, and it's been creative too. Physically and mentally, I'm definitely great. In the best place I've ever been, and I'm, you know, creatively creating more music. I feel like I'm playing and singing the best I ever have, and just everything as far as the band goes, travel, everything like that. I'm in the best place I've ever been in my whole life. And so for wow. folks out there who are thinking about making some adjustments or, you know, wanting to reevaluate some things in their life, I just want to provide some hope and inspiration. Just go for it.
Well, thank you for that. Congratulations, too, on 2 years. I guess I haven't seen you since COVID shut everything down and all our concerts started going away. So when I say 2 years, that's about accurate, I guess, thinking back.
Yeah, and, you know, COVID was another thing, too, where, you know, that's kind of a fork in the road, especially for a lot of musicians, especially. Not just musicians, but people could either you could either take that as an opportunity to get a good attitude and figure out how to make the best of things, or you could figure out how to find the worst in everything and really wallow in it, because it was a really hard time. And so some people took lemons and made lemonade, and some people really struggled, and they made a bad situation even worse.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want to do that, you know. So.
Well, listen, man, congratulations again. Thank you for sharing that information. I didn't know that. I mean, I just looked at the photograph, and I knew that you'd lost weight and seemed healthier physically. But thank you for the whole story that you've given given us some hope. And people, like you said, yeah, if it helps anyone else feel better and take different directions, and that's a wonderful gift you've just given everybody.
Well, man, I tell you what, life is worth living, and there's just a lot of good things when you, like I say, sometimes you just got to reevaluate some what's working in your life and what it and somebody gave me the advice that, you know, you can start your life over at any moment. You can start your week over at any moment. And I just took that opportunity to start my life over, and it's been a great change.
Yeah, congratulations. I want you to do a little bit of an intro, and I want to play for the audience Southern Ground from this Man on a Mission. I didn't mention that it's on Mountain Home, if I didn't. I'll mention that again. So, Darren Nicholson, your song Southern Ground, I want you to do a little bit of an intro to that. We'll play that, and I'll come back and talk to you some more.
All right, sounds good. Southern Ground is a song that written by Charles Humphrey, myself, and this is a song about a young man moving away, falling in love with a girl who's kind of living a little faster lifestyle than what he's used to, and he's starting to get homesick and realizing maybe he just wants to go home. And it's a relatable story. I love the groove of this tune. It reminds me of something that maybe Glenn Campbell would have done. It's got that kind of feel. And I just found out this past weekend that Seldom Seen is about to record this song and do a bluegrass version of it.
Oh, that would be nice. They'll do a great job.
Stoked and honored for that. So I love this song. It's one of my favorites.
It's a great one. Thanks for picking it. So that's we'll drop in Southern Ground, and I'll be right back with Darren Nicholson right here on Unreal Bluegrass. Well, that was it, Southern Ground. That's a great song, Darren. Congratulations, and we'll look forward to hearing Selvin.
It's like a perfect bluegrass song, man.
Yeah, it will be. It will be.
You hear the banjo rolling in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a great bluegrass song.
And you wrote that with Charles Humphrey III, which I think most people would know from Songs from the Road Band. And, and before that, Steep Canyon Rangers. But he's also very busy catching every trout on the East Coast.
And they don't stand a chance.
It's like every day.
Them fish have a lot of sore lips around here.
I knew he was into that, and I knew he's been on the show before a couple times. I knew he was into fishing, and I knew he was into, like, marathon, like, run across the country type stuff. I don't know if he still does.
He is an alien.
That guy
could be on the road all weekend, sleep 2 hours, and get up and run 26 miles. And when he runs 26 miles, it's not flat.
Yeah.
It's like uphill. Like, he does 26 miles through the mountains.
I know.
I mean, he is an alien. I love that dude.
He's a great guy. And then when he does all that, then he catches all the trout you might have.
He's an amazing man.
Let's talk a little bit about the fool that I'm the fool for you. How does that song? The fool for you is me. I'm sorry, I couldn't read my own handwriting. The fool for you is me. That's a pretty song. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the fool for you is me. That's a straight up country shuffle. Now that's the one on the record that is, I would consider that dead on classic country music.
Yeah,
that's the one classic country cut, and that was written by myself and Mark Bumgarner. Mark Bumgarner is another Western North Carolina guy who, he's written a lot of songs for Balsam Range. He wrote Rise and Shine, Burning Georgia Down, Monday Blues.
Those are good ones.
He and I, we've written several songs together, but this one, he had the hook, and we started writing it, and I think I had the musical hook of going to the walking up to the two major and really getting that shuffle sound. This is one of those that I'd mentioned. The other one had a Glenn Campbell feel. I could hear Ray Price doing
yes,
this.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. You nailed it on that. That's exactly right. And I could see I see people dancing on the floor too.
Yeah, man, this is a belt buckle polishing music. Right?
I like that description. That's good. That's exactly. Well, I'm glad that I can pick up on some of those messages you're sending out there. We talked a little bit about the last song that you wrote with Eric Gibson, Man on a Mission, and I'm going to talk about that, then we're going to come back. I'll play one more tune. I'll let you go, because I know you're busy. We'll come back with All Night Long. But Man on a Mission, that is, and I told you, I told you my age. I'm older than you, but that's like Southern Rock, man. I mean when Southern Rock was just bubbling up through the South and Georgia and blues and the Allman Brothers and all that stuff. That song is that'll get you.
Yeah, that song. I wanted that to almost have a black spiritual feel to it.
Well, and that's you mentioned the other background vocal. That's exactly there's that. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. I didn't interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, well that particular song, Eric and I, when we started writing that, it was so out of the box, just the lyrics. I mean, we enjoyed it, but I didn't know how we could even make it a bluegrass song. And so that was one of those I kind of threw over in the pile of, I'm like, that song, I love that song, but it's never going to make it onto a bluegrass record or anything. I'm going to have to do some kind of odd. If one day when I do an electric record or something like that, it may go on there. And I was like, this would be perfect. And let's see how out there we can get with it. And I would just like to say that, you know, my goal for doing this record, there are artists and musicians out there who, you know, I'm not trying to make a statement for my career or me, but the people who I would like to follow in their footsteps are people like a Daryl Scott or a Marty Stewart, in the fact that, you know, I've done records that were like Things Left Undone. I've done an instrumental mandolin record, which is super hardcore traditional bluegrass. I've done a gospel record. I've done this record. And so, having a song like this and having a record like this, artists that I see, somebody like Marty Stewart, he may do a California country record, or he may do a bluegrass record from the Ryman, or he may do a country record or a blues record or a gospel record or whatever. And I always buy his records because I don't care what genre it is or whatever. You know, I don't care what he's doing. I know it's going to be coming from a place that is genuine and authentic, and he cares about the music.
Yeah.
And he is steeped so much in the tradition of music that it's going to be done in taste, and it's going to be a good record.
Yeah.
And that's how I want to make records, and that's the kind of career that I want to have. And I want, I grew up in this kind of music, and not just, I don't consider myself an expert or a historian like Marty, but I do find value and a pedigree in the fact that I come from generations and generations of old time bluegrass and country musicians from Western North Carolina. And it's been my life. I've been on stage since I was 18 months old.
Everybody
in my family has played music and done it, a lot of them professionally, and toured and made a living doing it. And so, I do take a little bit of offense when I go to a festival and there's somebody who got into bluegrass in their 60s and they're in Florida somewhere and they've moved here from New York. And they tell me that, hey, bluegrass don't have drums, or this isn't bluegrass, or this is bluegrass and this isn't, and they're trying to tell me what bluegrass is or it isn't, because, all those records that my parents had, all the old Jim and Jesse records, or Flat and Scruggs, or the Osborne Brothers, which had drums and electric guitars,
and piano,
steels and pianos, all these proclaimed experts, they didn't grow up in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't, that's why, I take what they say with a grain of salt, and I would rather follow the musical direction of somebody like a Marty Stewart or a Daryl Scott who puts the song first. And I knew that they've been around it for so long, and they're steeped in it. And that's why when these records are put together, that's kind of the place that I'm coming from, and I want to kind of make records with that spirit of like carrying on tradition, but also pushing boundaries and creating new music at the same time, like songs that I've written, and because like these are, like you're just talking about, these are brand new songs that I've written, but some of them sound like old music. They sound like they could have been recorded by Glenn Campbell or Ray Price.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's old, but at the same time, it's fresh, but it's authentic, and that's my goal with making records.
And you've done it on this. You've always done it, as far as I can tell, and I know you're striving to do that. But when you talk about the person that will tell you that this doesn't fit, or drums, when they get into let's call it bluegrass later, they haven't seen how much it's changed, and they get a photograph of in their mind or their ear of 1947, and they weren't there as it changed. All those great musicians changed. Earl Scruggs, look what he did with the Earl Scruggs Review. I mean, all that stuff changed, and then he paved ways for other bands from California that followed that model, and so they get this. I'm not in favor of that either. I'm not meaning to be preaching here, but to me, a record is just a snapshot. A recording is like this, on a mission, but it's all changing. It's all going to change by the time you perform it. And if you don't get a feel, and me preaching again, I'm going to stop this. But if you don't get a feel for how things change and how they grow, sometimes the growth is wrong. It doesn't work and it dies out. But you got to have that big look back. It sounds like that's what you're saying. I'm butchering your words, which are much more simple and direct than mine.
Well, it's just trying. You're trying new things. If nothing changes, nothing ever changes. And you know, if all I don't want to keep re-recording songs that have already been out there.
Yeah.
I want to write music and have my own sound and do my own thing. Now, if somebody don't like it, then don't buy it.
That's right.
You know, don't listen to it. That's why there's 12 flavors of ice cream, or what, there's 50 flavors of ice cream. If you don't like chocolate, then get vanilla. But, you know, that's why there's room in the music world for everybody. And if, you know, I go back to Bill Monroe, he's one of my biggest heroes, because if he hadn't pushed the boundaries and he hadn't changed up his sound and he hadn't had an idea, bluegrass wouldn't exist.
Nope.
And so, you know, if you really want to, the most traditional thing you can do to me, if you want to sound, be like Bill Monroe, is don't sound like anything else. It's sure note. Sure don't sound like Bill Monroe.
No.
If you want to be like Bill Monroe, then do your own thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know,
that's
otherwise, great. Everything, you know, he would have just been mandolin and guitar, and it sounded like him and Charlie, and it would sound like the Carter family and whatever else, you know. But he pushed the envelope, and he was creating new music, and I think in that same spirit, that's what we want to do. But we can... people like Marty and Daryl, you can have a foot in the future and still have a foot in the past at the same time.
And do it well. And authentically. Do it well, and yeah. People find this album. Then I want to have you introduce one more song. But how do they find this? How do they find the other Darren Nicholson recordings that you referenced to?
Yeah, well, you can get all my recordings at my website, darrennicholson.net. And that's darrennicholson.net.
Okay.
And then, of course, all the streaming services, Spotify, Pandora, you can get that music there. And
I ask you to pick three songs, and we're going to close on that. You do the intro to All Night Long. I'll let you go back to what you're doing, and I do put more down the road.
So much for having me, Steve. Sure. This is a ballad Charles and I wrote about sometimes when you're in a place, a relationship with somebody that you care a whole lot about, and you're having to let go. It's a really hard thing, and it's emotionally, it just zaps you. And I love the harmony singing on this,
yeah.
And we put a big vocal stack on the bridge, kind of like the Eagles did. And I learned a bunch of those tricks from all my years working with Carl Jackson. Tip of the hat to Carl, one of my favorites. But
he's a great one.
David played the cello on this.
As I'm driving, I called you. I was coming back. Yeah, I called you. I was coming back from a meeting, just so people know. And I keep thinking, I want to get into that part of that sound. So there, you just answered that question for me, as you said.
I wanted this to be just, you know, the lyrics are, I wanted this to be that, just, it's a ballad, and so it's kind of lonesome and spacey, and it's a pretty emotional song. So
I think so. All right.
I hope folks enjoy it.
I think they will. Miss it. Man, Darren Nicholson, thanks so much. I've seen you so many times, and we've crossed paths. I've never had you on the show before, and it won't be the last unless you just don't want to do it anymore.
Man, I'll come on anytime. Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate what you do.
Okay. Here's All Night Long from Darren Nicholson's brand new album, Man on a Mission. Thanks a lot, Darren.
Thank you.
Please, every second out of that cello. Isn't that a beautiful song, All Night Long, from Darren Nicholson, his brand new album? Only six songs, but there's so much music and so much information and so much of Darren into each song and every part of it. It's a great album. For having six songs, you would think you've just been taken through a musical journey. I think that's what Darren just did for us. So thanks so much, Darren Nicholson. He was packing to leave and stayed up late so that we could talk, and he was hitting the road the next day doing this Balsam Range thing. At the end of the second hour of Unreal Bluegrass, we play the Dillards doing an a cappella version of Yesterday, of course, a Beatles tune. Balsam Range has done one of the best Beatles cover song I've ever heard, and I think it shows off their harmony so well. Well, which Darren is such a big part. They did an album or so ago. They did If You Needed Someone. You're going to hear that next. Thanks so much for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. Thank you, Darren. We'll see you again somewhere down the road. Great album, Man on a Mission.